Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hour two as we roll along this morning. Eric Edholm will join us this hour at 45 past. We'll talk NFL Super Bowl as we head now officially into the off season, and there are dates on the calendar that says you got to do this by this date, you got to do this by this date, but we'll keep an eye on Aaron Rodgers, we'll keep an eye on Derek Carr over the next couple weeks as that is going to start to buzz up a little bit. The Ravens and Lamar Jackson. The Philadelphia Eagles are a team that's going to be very interesting because they're going to be paying Jalen Hurts a lot of money. As they're going to lock in their quarterback as he is playing in the last year of his rookie contract. But they've got a lot of other questions that they're going to need to answer. Now, you always want, of course, base your team around the quarterback, and then you hope that you could add pieces and more pieces and more pieces at a productive bargain, and B, somebody that is going to add some real value to what you're doing. So you want to make sure that you can get a player that can play that is cap friendly, so you're not breaking the bank on every single person that is eligible to be paid, because you can't pay everybody in this league. It's, you know, there's two things about the NFL that really, really hit home to me sometimes, and especially when you're coming off a Super Bowl win. It's one of the reasons why I think even 50 years down the road, where we could see almost anything happen, that 50 years down the road, we will still be talking about the New England Patriots and the 20-year dynasty that they were able to produce, because they managed so many of the obstacles that the NFL puts in place to prevent you from doing just that. Think about how interesting this is that we watch the Philadelphia Eagles have this magnificent season where their starting quarterback went 16-1. They built around him in such a way where A.J. Brown got $100 million off a trade from the Tennessee Titans, right? They've got offensive weapons. They had a great offensive line. They have a great defensive line. They were one of the best pass defenses in the NFL, the best pass defense. Got the quarterback sacks more than anybody in this league. And yet, we go into this offseason with questions about who they can keep and who they can't keep, and whether or not it's going to be problematic for them to repeat as NFC champions. And on the flip side of that, the team that won the Super Bowl, Kansas City, has got right now the best quarterback in the game, arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks to play despite his age of 27, and really has just been in the league a handful of years compared to Tom Brady, let's say. But the reality is how many of you would take the Chiefs to win the AFC or the field? You always take the field, right? There's only like only a handful of athletes where you would take them over the field. Like even Tiger, when he was in golf tournaments, you would say, well, I really think Tiger is going to win this, so I'm going to take him rather than every other golfer. In the AFC, there are so many good football teams, and because you know that the road to the Super Bowl is got its ups, downs, twists, turns, one-shot tournament, you have no idea. But I wonder how many people would just go, no, I'm taking the field. I'm not taking the Chiefs. Yet, coming off a Super Bowl, because this league, it's really, really tough to establish a dynasty. It's really difficult. And in the AFC especially, everybody's arrows are now coming out at you. If you're an AFC general manager, you are devising a way to beat that team. But you're also looking about how to devise ways to beat a Bengals team or a Miami team or a Buffalo team or now an up-and-coming Jacksonville team or a Chargers team. There are so many others. Baltimore, for example, that's another one. So if you are the general manager of the Denver Broncos, or you're the general manager of the Raiders, or you're the general manager of the Browns, you're looking around this league and saying there are too many potholes and too many obstacles to try to build the best team I possibly can to go navigate through this. So it's impressive when it happens, right? When you see somebody like Patrick Mahomes take this Kansas City team to 5 straight AFC title games, all of them at home, and 3 Super Bowls in 4 years, winning 2. The league is designed for you not to be able to do that. Whereas baseball, on the other hand, almost half of the field is out of the picture before you even start the season. So now you're just navigating through a bunch of other teams that are as well-built as you are, that have money like you do to sort of lock in players and make sure you're not a farm system for somebody else, right? The NBA, we see dynasties happen in the NBA all the time. But in football, we don't. So when we do, what we do is we say, well, 3 out of 4 years is a dynasty. Well, that's not the way they used to define dynasty back in the day when that word was sort of bantied about the Montreal Canadiens or the New York Yankees or the Boston Celtics. That's not what they were talking about. They didn't define dynasty as 3 championships in 4 years. They defined dynasty as owning a decade, right? That's not what the NFL is built for. So even if you can see a bunch of things, even if you say, well, we don't even know what the economics of football is going to look like 50 years from now. We don't even know how the NFL rules are going to be in place 50 years from now. And maybe there is going to be a shift towards this or a shift towards that that allows teams to build dynasties. Maybe you get longer contracts. Maybe you get whatever it may be. Maybe the cap is improved so greatly that you can keep better players. Even if you concede all of that, an ever-changing economic model, you still aren't going to see what the New England Patriots did again. You're not going to see a kid be born in a hospital and then go to college and know nothing but Patriot success. That's crazy. But we're seeing a little bit of with this with Kansas City now. Now, to me, I don't think Kansas City has built a dynasty, right? I need more championships. In order to make that claim. But as far as AFC dynasty, if you just want to put it in an AFC context rather than an NFL context, then they have, based on the definitions that we're starting to accept. And that's the case. That's the case. The Eagles, I'm always cautious. I never want to say a team is going to be back. I don't know. I don't know. Do I like the Eagles? Of course. I have no idea the decisions they're going to have to make this offseason with a bunch of their players. Now, I know Jalen Hurts is getting paid, so he's going to be around. That's it.
And they'll definitely break the bank for him.
And A.J. Brown is going to be there because they just signed him to a big deal.
But I would say this, and you know, I'm agreeing with you, Eagles' path is much easier than Chiefs.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But that can switch quickly, right?
I mean, definitely. You
know, but right now, what we're seeing in the AFC – again,
I mean, we haven't really dipped our toes in the NFL offseason.
Right.
And we have no idea what's going to happen.
And if Aaron Rodgers is on the Jets or he's on the Raiders, right, it adds another team to the pile of teams that you may have to contend with or are going to be problematic. Aaron Rodgers on the Jets, like for the next couple of years, puts the AFC East up in the air with 3 really good teams and a Patriots team that might figure themselves out.
Yeah, well, they got a new offensive coordinator, Tony.
And Bill O'Brien, thank God.
The savior.
Were they an offensive coordinator away from making the playoffs?
Of course they were.
Right, is that it?
They had a defensive guy as the offensive coordinator, which didn't make sense to any of us.
That was insane.
Like Belichick trying to help him out, like, here, this will help you be a well-rounded head coach.
Yeah.
Run the offense.
What hubris. My God.
Yeah.
Like, what hubris to go, nah, we don't need an OC. We'll just do it by committee, and then I'll just give it to Matt Patricia. What? Yeah, it'll work. Don't worry. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Will it? I don't know. It doesn't sound like it would. Yeah. It doesn't sound like it would work.
No, but if you have Rodgers going to the Jets or Rodgers going to the Raiders, I mean, I kind of like that scenario. Even if he went to the Raiders, I kind of like that scenario for the Chargers because I don't think it makes the Raiders better, but you know, it does. I mean, Rodgers would have to be contended with.
And if he goes to the, it goes back to Sean Payton is now in that division. What can he do with Russell Wilson? I don't know. There's so many questions. So again, if you were to say today, would you take the Chiefs in Super Bowl 58? You'd be like, I don't know if the Chiefs can get back to Super Bowl 58.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's a very real possibility. I mean, I think they, you know, almost guarantee that they'll make the playoffs. But at the same time, you look at what each division has to offer in the AFC. I don't even know if they'd make the playoffs.
Yeah, and here's the difference, and this is the thing that I said all the time. When you are owning your division in a way the Patriots owned the AFC East for 20 years, for a good part of the 20 years, what it does is if you feast on your division so much, and then naturally you're good, so you're going to win your share of games anyway. Back in the day, the Patriots benefited from needing to win one playoff game, usually at home, to host the AFC Championship game, right? So they would get the bye, they would play the divisional game at home, and then they were another game away from the Super Bowl, and that game was in Foxborough, right? And so Now you've got one team that gets the bye, right? So now you've got you got another path that you've got to get into. So to me, it becomes a little bit harder because you've got to secure that number one seed. If you don't, you got to play an extra game. It's you can't guarantee anything, and so we can get all caught up in Patrick Mahomes, and we're going to for the next couple of days as everybody really right. really processes this, how amazing.
But
it was
a special set of circumstances too, because you had to for the Patriots, you had to have been in a division that was just god awful.
Yeah, a division where you were feasting on at least one or two teams that were not good.
Like right now, if we look across the landscape of all the divisions across the NFL, I would say the Jaguars have a potential because right. the AFC yeah. South is terrible.
Right, and if you have a Titan
Sorry, Tennessee.
Season, yeah, if you have a Titan season that is mediocre, you're gonna beat a Colts team. Who just hired a new head coach.
Yep.
And then a Texans team that's rebuilding and a Titans team that may not live up to expectations. That becomes yeah, much easier. You know, the Patriots, right, in the 20 years, what, the Dolphins won the division the year Brady was out. You had the Jets with Mark Sanchez yep. get to an AFC title game, beat them in the playoffs. So you had a couple of times where the teams did some good things, but for the most part, they just killed
everybody. They were laughingstocks.
There was a period of time, I think the Bills, the Brady and the Patriots beat the Bills like 13 straight times or something like that. Like that's how you feast on your own division to get to a point where you're in the running for a number one seed or at least a two seed, and then you get it and you see what happens. So, yeah, it's amazing that we can see the greatness of Patrick Mahomes, and yet we can't even come close to guaranteeing future success.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
No, it's not just the good, the bad, and the dumb. It is the Valentine's Day edition of the good, the bad, and the dumb. It's good, bad, dumb. Let's get the good of the day.
Well, we love this guy.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I mean, maybe people love this guy, especially in Philly they love this guy. But Bryce Harper.
Hey!
Bryce Harper was walking through Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix.
Right.
A young fan said, hey, man, can I get a picture? Not only did he do that, he took off one of his shoes that he was wearing, signed it, and gave it to the little kid.
How great is that?
So he walked around the airport with just one shoe on for the rest of the time.
Bryce Harper, that is great.
Man amongst the people.
By the way, if you're an athlete and you say no to autographs and stuff, I know it gets weary, but if you say no to kids, what do you do? How can you live with yourself?
Yeah.
Like, I know you don't want to get mobbed, but Lord knows I've not lived that existence, so I don't know what it's like. It must be annoying. But at the same time, it's got to be kind of like, all right, well, I do want to be appreciative of people who look up to me. So, yeah, here's a shoe.
It is weird when people recognize you, though.
Yeah, that is,
now, we'll
too.
Give that up. I mean, I'm not mobbed or anything, but every once in a while it happens like, hey, aren't you? And I'm like,
And I think all of us have seen famous people at airports before, right?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, everybody is, like, if you travel enough, you're going to run into somebody famous at an airport.
Who's the last famous person that you were, like, non-sports related, like Hollywood related, that you ran into, like, an airport or something like that?
Well, that's a good question. The last famous person I remember seeing in an airport was Mean Gene Okerlund.
All right.
The late Mean Gene Okerlund. He was not upset, but he was concerned about a flight being delayed that he needed to catch because he was at the ticket counter. And he was kind of like, he was really serious.
Yeah.
Because I know some people were kind of hovering, like they wanted to say hi, but he was kind of, he was in mid-talk, like, I really need to catch this flight, blah, 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 blah. And he wasn't yelling at the agent, but it wasn't like a casual conversation either, so I think people were kind of avoiding him. But that was the last real super famous one.
I think mine was, it was Jack McBrayer.
Oh, okay. That is the guy from
30 Rock.
30 Rock, and he did the voice of the hammer guy.
Yeah, Fix-It Felix.
Fix-It Felix. Yes, exactly.
My kids were stoked when he said, hi, kids, or whatever, yeah. You know, however he talks. They're like, oh, we recognize him.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, but now they're all taking private planes. Did you hear like 200 private planes left Phoenix
yeah.
Sky Harbor Airport?
Well, the day I left, there was a guy who worked at the airport. If you've ever been to Sky Harbor, right, there's a train that connects all the terminals together.
Yeah.
So you got to jump on a train to get to from one terminal to another, or from the rent-a-car center. It's like a mile-long trip, which I found fascinating. It was fantastic. But there was a guy who jumped on, and he was explaining, he's like, see all the private planes? And there was a, you know, there was a plane with a Jaguar's tail. There was two planes with the Cowboy Star.
Nice.
One
nice.
Bigger than the other.
Wow.
But two planes with the Cowboy Star.
That's fantastic.
And he said, this is just the tip of the iceberg. And over the seven airports, they were estimating, about 200, 250 different private planes in their
That's great.
In the Phoenix area airports.
All congesting Crazy. Our skies with pollution.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's like All right. billions of dollars worth of planes sitting
Good.
There.
Good for Bryce Harper. That's fantastic. By the way, the part of the Eagles' trifecta of losing championships.
Oh,
over the last
I'm glad you brought that up.
Is that the
that's,
bad?
That's the bad of the day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
Because Philadelphia is in the world record book, Tony.
Yeah.
Because it only took them 99 days to lose three championships.
That's a little over 3 months.
Yeah, so they are the runner up title town right now.
That's awful.
And maybe not looking good for the Sixers. I don't know.
Oh, wouldn't that be wild if the Sixers could? They're like in second or third place in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, yeah. They could definitely make it.
They could easily do this.
You know, if they lost like the Golden State Warriors again or something. But just to catch everyone up, you didn't know. If you don't remember, Phillies lost to the Astros in the World Series. Union lost to LAFC in the MLS Cup. And the Eagles lost to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
A lot of
Philly fans say, hey, we only lost two championships in 99 days.
Right.
They're not counting the Union.
No, you need to. The MLS has been around for 30 years now.
It's good.
It's
You would have counted it as a win if you wanted.
You certainly would have, yeah.
So let's just keep that right there.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah.
Believe me, I hear it all the time here in Nashville because we have a soccer team at Nashville SC. And people are like, I don't even care about soccer. I was like, you would if they won the cup.
I'm telling you, you
don't think you would.
You would
but
be
you
proud.
You love this town. And if they were in the MLS Cup finals, you'd be paying attention. Stop it. You would. Don't say you wouldn't. You would. So, all right. Yeah. What's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. I was originally going to talk baseball, but you had already covered that. So I had to switch up. I had the audible.
Okay.
I called Omaha. And I've really find I'm going to love to get your opinion on this, but apparently Greg Olson is set for a pay cut.
I saw this and I could not believe it.
So
I couldn't believe it because
right
it's
now,
not a pay cut. It is a
it's
pay.
It's significant. Yeah.
It's a pay right stabbing.
Now, right now he's making $10 million a year. He will make $10 million a year next year.
Because Tom Brady is not
Tom
on
Brady is not
the
jumping in. But as soon as Tom Brady takes over color analyst duties for team number one, Greg Olson will go from $10 million a year to $3 million a year.
Okay, so there, it does make sense in a way.
Right.
Right, where you say you're the number one guy.
So you get this, but now you're no longer number one.
Now that you're going on the B, C, D team, probably the B team.
B team.
The B team gets paid this. So that's how our business works. It's not like football where you can make $20 million a year and be injured 90% of the time. This is how this works. And your agent goes, okay, but that is a real drop off. That, like, if you went from 10 to 7,
too.
It would be fine, or 10 to 6, but 10 to 3, good Lord.
But it's a real gut check, too. I mean,
right.
I don't even know how you. I mean, if you're Greg Olson, are you telling your agent, hey, find me something else?
Absolutely. Look, he is young enough, late 30s? Right?
Yeah.
Late 30s?
Everyone thought he did a fantastic job this year.
Everybody thought he was great.
And
thought he was great.
I think the hardest thing for me wouldn't be so much the money. It would be the fact that you're tossing me aside because you are assuming he'll be better.
Right, exactly.
You don't even know it yet.
You don't even know. It's not like you're plucking a guy from CBS that's a rising star on the analyst chair. You're plucking Tom Brady, who has shown no ability to do this, by the way. None other than sitting in podcasts and yapping, but not doing it in real time, real analysis with real preparation.
The only ability he's ever shown is that, you know, obviously the guy knows how to play football.
Right, exactly.
That's it.
And Greg Olson put in the work. Like we said, that is, it's a lot of work. It is a lot
more
work than people think. It's a lot more work than people think. And some guys, can't do it. Look, there's a reason why you've seen people do games and then you don't see people do games anymore. It's not a business where, like in the NFL, when a guy gets cut, you go, eh, it's big news, he got cut. TV work, it's like they just disappear. They just don't show up again. Outside of maybe Drew Brees, that made news when he wasn't very good at television. But most of the time you'll see an analyst on a D game and then they just disappear. A lot of it because they quit. A lot of it's because they're no good. And it's really tough. It's a tough job. You travel a lot and you are talking to people all the time and you're doing the same kind of repetitive work that gets a little old after a while. You're going over stats, you're going over film, you're going over stuff. And there's no other, like, you're not doing it to win a game. You're just doing it to be proficient at just talking about a game.
Honestly, I mean, I'm not saying that it's harder, but there, I think there's more work needed to be put in than it is for an actual football game.
Absolutely. And you don't have, even though you've got producers and executive producers and statisticians and whatnot, it's not like doing it for a football game where there's 100 people part of the goal of winning. And here's the other thing is, you're right with Olsen. He's good enough that CBS, with the problems that Romo is having publicly, you could almost see CBS going, we're not going to replace Romo with him, but we're bringing him on our roster to one day replace Romo with him. Right? Like, we can almost see that, where we're going to get you a little bit more, and you come over here.
I don't know if I could work for it. You know what I mean? It's like you're bringing him in really because of name alone. There's no ability whatsoever. You're just bringing him in because...
Really.
Yeah, and you're paying – I mean, and for Fox, you have to do it. You have to get your money's worth. I mean, God, I wouldn't be surprised if Brady's calling golf matches and NASCAR, you know, things he has no clue about.
Yeah, they're going to have him doing NASCAR with the Fox team because they're paying him so much money.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, we got to get our money's worth. I mean, he's going to be an analyst here and there, and all of a sudden he's talking about political affairs. Maybe he'll cover the 2024 presidential election.
Yeah. I can almost see it now. Mike Joy going, we're here at Rockingham. Tom Brady, you drove a car one time. What was that like to put the key in the ignition and start it up and put it into drive? And Brady just goes on. Well, one time I had to go to the store, and it was really tough. I had to kind of navigate a neighborhood, and there was a kid playing ball on the side. So I understand what these drivers are going to be going through for the next 2.5 hours. Yeah, they're getting their money worth with Tom Brady. They're going to have him do everything, man. He's going to make guest appearances on their shows. He's going to be on TV sitcoms, drama shows. He might be an ER doctor on one of their shows. If you're paying him that much money, you won't be able to go anywhere without seeing his face promoting something. Oh, goodness. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Happy Valentine's Day. We're going to continue more on the NFL. We got Eric Edholm joining us from NFL.com to talk Super Bowl and the offseason. It could be busy. Next, we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
This is Brian Adams, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Brian Adams. This is from that Robin Hood movie from the 90s.
Yes.
With Kevin Costner. Also, Christian Slater was in that movie. Whatever happened to Christian Slater?
That's a great question.
Is he still doing anything?
I think he was on something recently.
I know he had a lot of problems with substance abuse and drugs and stuff, getting arrested, but... whatever happened to him? He was like a mega star in the early 90s.
Is he even hireable now?
I don't know. He's got to be in his 50s, right? Yeah, he's a little older than me, so he's got to be in his 50s. He's still young enough to be doing stuff. He's like a young Jack Nicholson.
He was born in 69.
Yeah, so he's 53, 54. So.
But can you see him as a role of like a dad now?
Yeah, that's a problem, right? Yeah, I had the trouble with Jason Bateman early on, man, because Jason Bateman's been an actor my whole life.
Well, the new Willow TV show that's on Disney Plus, he was in one episode of that.
Is he? So he's getting like these roles where they're like, just enough to keep your SAG card.
Yeah.
But just, you know, not starring in any feature film.
No, he's not really.
You know what's going to happen?
It's just like episodes here and there. So, yeah, he's.
All right. Although, you know what?
I take that back. Mr. Robot.
Oh, he's in Mr. Robot?
That was a TV series. I mean, it's over now, but ran for a while and was critically acclaimed. He was in 45 episodes of that.
Oh, okay. So he's been doing some work.
Yeah.
Just work I haven't seen. Okay.
because I was going to say, it sounds like to me, like in a couple of years, he's going to do a movie where he's going to be an estranged father trying to reconnect with his daughter. And everyone in Cannes Film Festival is going to give him a standing ovation.
Yeah.
And they're going to go, oh, remember when Christian Slater was doing Heathers? Oh, my God. He was so great.
It's one of the reasons why I wanted
to pump up the volume.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's one of the reasons why I liked radio. Like, the idea of doing radio was because just him talking in a microphone, I was fascinated by that.
Me too. The idea that he was talking about, and then all these kids gathered at this one location and were all listening to him talk. It was great. Exactly. Philip on Twitter, Mean Gene was awesome. I used to work at a restaurant inside Bush Airport in Houston and would see celebrities come through late evenings, nights a lot. The last one I remember meeting was either Dwight Howard or Jimmy Hart. Is that Jimmy Hart, Mouth of the South Jimmy Hart? That's awesome.
That has to be. There's no other Jimmy Hart worth talking about.
No, you put Jimmy Hart down, it's got to be Jimmy Mouth of the South Hart.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's awesome.
Did he have the long hair and glasses?
Right?
That's the only way I would recognize him. He probably, if he doesn't have that, say he's wearing just a regular old hat, like a baseball hat, and doesn't have glasses on, you wouldn't recognize him.
Exactly. So, yeah, meeting celebrities at airports is always interesting.
Saying Honky Tonk Man wasn't with him?
Yeah, I know. You know what's weird is whenever somebody tells me a story about meeting a celebrity at an airport or on a flight, they'll be like, I was on an air flight, and they go, I was on an airplane, and I walked past first class, and I saw Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
And I would go, why isn't he on a private plane? Like, I always assume that the private plane is available to everybody that's a celebrity.
Well, it is. To not celebrities. I mean, we could rent a private plane if we wanted to.
Yeah.
And in some ways, they say it's more cost effective if you find the right deal and the right amount of people doing it.
Unless you're a billionaire. Like, I think if you're a millionaire, like, you know, 50 million a year or something like that, owning a private plane must be just a money pit.
Oh,
just nonstop checks and writing money to store the
every
thing,
month.
Maintenance, staff, parts.
Pilot on standby.
Month, pilot on standby, gasoline constantly. When there's a whole bunch of services where you could literally call up and go, I need a plane for my family tomorrow. And they're like, it'll be there. Here it is. Give us your credit card. We charge this much. We take care of everything. Be at the airport at 11 o'clock. It's ready to go. And you're like, great. Thanks. And by the way, I'll be returning on Thursday. And it will be there Thursday. Perfect. I don't have to pay storage fees. We're all good. It's like a boat. Everybody wants their own boat, but wouldn't it be just better to rent a boat? Unless you're out there every weekend, unless you're out on your harbor every weekend. But if a plane, Phil Mickelson said this, the biggest problem he had with his money was the plane. He bought a Gulfstream thing. He's like, when I'm not using it, it's just soaking up money, just constant
I believe
money.
It.
But whenever somebody tells me they see some major Hollywood celebrity on a Delta flight, I go, what? What are they doing even in first class on a Delta flight for? Why aren't they on a Warner Brothers private jet? Philip clarifying, it was the Jimmy Hart, had the hair, the sunglasses, and white sports jacket with hearts all over it. That's awesome. I asked Hulk Hogan this when I interviewed Hulk Hogan years and years ago. Because Hulk Hogan used to show up at this restaurant in Largo, Florida, at this Olive Garden with his family all the time. And he would always be dressed in, back then, he was with NWO. Remember that when he broke off from WWE and went on to the other wrestling thing? And he was always in his NWO stuff. And I always told him, I said, every time I would see you in that restaurant, you were always in your NWO stuff. And I said, it was really cool. Like, you didn't just show up in, like, regular clothes. He goes, nah, man, always got to look the part, brother. Always got to look the part. That's interesting. I wonder if they do that. If they're always, they kind of always have to be in character. If you're into that business.
Probably.
Right? Well, you're like, you're never just like, oh, no. Then I go put on the wig and I do all this stuff. And then I go, you know. No, you kind of always kind of. You're always that person because when you meet somebody, it's like, nah, my name is really Joe Smithsonian. I go by this, you know, it's my acting name. It's my stage name. No, you kind of always have to be in character.
I would see him all the time.
Yeah.
In LA.
The wrestlers or who?
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan, yeah.
Yeah, I guess he lived in a similar neighborhood as me, or within a 5 mile radius. You'd always see him on his Harley,
right?
Just
exactly.
Cruising up and down the street, and it was, growing up in L.A., you almost became numb to it. There was only been a couple of times where I was like really starstruck.
Yeah.
And one of them was, I remember pulling up to an intersection, and Rodney Dangerfield was next to me.
How great is Rodney Dangerfield?
And I did a double take, and he just. Just smiled and waved and kept on going. I was like, I wish I had two more minutes at that intersection with him.
That's what everybody says here in Nashville, but I wouldn't recognize a country artist if they hit me over the head with their guitar and said they had sold a million records.
You're 100% right. I wouldn't know. Like you'd see TV sets, they're filming locations and stuff like that around town, and you would hear inklings of who's there. And then some of them are recognizable. Like Rodney Dangerfield's recognizable. You can't miss that. You would recognize him right away, but there were so many times you probably passed him in a grocery store and you didn't even know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, apparently Morgan Wallen is a big country star. I have zero idea what he looks like. Zero. Zero idea. So I have no. And he's like the biggest country music star right now. I have zero idea. Maybe it's because I'm getting older. I don't know. That's pretty wild. Eric Edholm will join us from NFL.com. We'll talk Super Bowl, his thoughts on the game itself. As I said in hour number one, you've got people making an argument. Seth Wickersham wrote a really nice piece at ESPN about whether or not this is the greatest Super Bowl. He says it's the greatest Super Bowl ever played. Ever played.
What do you think?
He concedes that there were these other great moments, right? But. To me, I'm worried. I don't like the last thing I saw is the best thing I saw thing. But I got to tell you, what I loved about this Super Bowl was I feel like two teams played the best they possibly could play, and one team just won. Right? Like, one team just won. And that's what you want. Like, I don't want an overtime Super Bowl where a team gave up a 28-3 lead.
Yeah.
I don't want a Super Bowl that went down to the wire, but the offensive coordinator decided to throw the ball at the goal line instead of handing the ball off to one of the best running backs in the league. I don't want Super Bowls where I can point to the mistake, the error, the big problem with the coaching, or the big problem with decision-making, or whatever it is. I want to point to a Super Bowl where like a heavyweight fight where it goes 15 rounds and you go, those two gave everything they possibly had. And one of these is going to win this fight. I felt like you got that in this Super Bowl. Anthony Munoz was out in, Tim Kummeri was out of Super Bowl 23 with an injury, a big offensive lineman for the Cincinnati Bengals. There are moments where the close Super Bowls became a Super Bowl where there was something wrong with the other team. Patriots Giants, the first one, Super Bowl 42, close Super Bowl. What's the takeaway other than Eli Manning and the helmet catch? The Patriots, who were bombing everybody and scoring a million points, were held to 14.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, there was no holding back these quarterbacks. There was nothing that the off defenses did that caused either one of these quarterbacks to not be their normal self.
Yeah, I mean, Mahomes couldn't pass.
Right.
He had issues passing, but they found, he found a way to control the offense.
They found a way to control the offense. And I think when you add the injury element to what he did in the second half,
yeah,
it would take a little bit more analysis. But I think there's nothing wrong with saying a day or two later, that it is one of the greatest Super Bowls ever played. Eric Edholm will join us next. We'll not only talk about that, but we'll talk about where some people are going to be going this offseason. Derek Carr said, you're not trading me anywhere. I'm going to be a free agent. Aaron Rodgers, all that coming up next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, we're making things even easier. We'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Eric Edholm joining us to talk Super Bowl and more around the NFL. NFL.com. How are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about you?
Your thoughts on the Super Bowl. There are people making the case it's the greatest. I know it's the last thing I saw is the best thing I saw kind of thing that factors in a lot. Yeah. But, my God, you get a showdown like that. Where do you put this one?
It was great. It really was. You know, I like to let kind of the dust in my brain settle. There's a lot of dust out there, too. But, you know, just kind of let things cool down for a week or two before you start reflecting on the game. I watched a little bit more of it yesterday and kind of forgot a couple of sequences and a couple of moments sort of in that critical late second quarter, early third quarter as the tide was slowly turning there. And, you know, that was – I mean, I look back at that defensive touchdown and how much it meant. I don't even know if the Colts – I mean, if the Chiefs have a chance to win that game, if that doesn't happen. But, you know, you have the top two MVP vote-getters going head-to-head in the Classic. You could argue Hurts even played better than Mahomes over the course of four quarters. And it came down to a, you know, essentially a game-winning kick there. So, yeah, it's pretty high up there, but we'll see if it cracks the top three or four all time once I think about it a little more.
We were just talking about this last segment. I mean, I think when you talk about there's at least in recent memory, when you talk about close Super Bowls, there's always one team failed to do something, right? Like they didn't give the ball to Marshawn Lynch, or they blew a 28-3 lead. But this one, you feel like each team gave everything they had, and a team just won by three.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, you know, you could always look at it from that perspective of what didn't the losing team do, you know, right? I mean, Joe Burrow had Ja'Marr Chase streaking down the field as he was getting sacked. And, you know, the 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo's missed throw to, I can't remember who, Emmanuel Sanders maybe? Yeah, so, but, right, I mean, you also have to give credit to the other side, too. And you know, I don't think in this game you look at the Eagles. Sure, you could say, oh, their defense had zero sacks. That's a fail. Sure, maybe. You know, those who blame officiating will point to that one call. But, boy, there were plenty of opportunities before that for the Eagles to clamp down and stop the bleeding, if you will. I mean, you get one stop in the second half. One. And you're Super Bowl champions. And I don't know. I mean, I know people were also complaining maybe you go for it on fourth down instead of punting to Tony on that long return. That's pretty far back. That'd be a gutsy move at that stage of the game to take that risk, and we'd probably be calling out Sirianni if it failed.
With so much of his story being written in greatness, how much does this Patrick Mahomes story get even better with the whole world seeing this guy limping to the sidelines and then not that much later, he's running for 26 yards.
We love the Willis Reed moments, right?
Sure.
We love the athlete dragging himself back onto the field. Now, it wasn't quite that dramatic, obviously, but we saw the pain that Mahomes was in. I mean, he said he was feeling great pregame, but as he pointed out, you know, one little tweak, one wrong twist, one weight transfer can really aggravate that type of injury, too. And I was worried about that for Hurts, too. I mean, you know, the shoulder injury felt like it happened so long ago. But I've talked to plenty of sports medicine people who say, those shoulders, man, you think you have them right, and then all of a sudden, you know, it pops out. So it could have been either side that happened to. Obviously, Mahomes' greatness is, you know, he's been going 5 years now, and it feels like almost a decade that he's been at this level. So, yeah, I just can't believe he's only 27 at this point. And you know, if we're going by the Rodgers, Breeze, Brady, even Manning timelines, you tell me we get like 12 more years of this guy. I'm all in. Let me see where it ends. I can't wait.
I've always been reluctant to point to a losing team and say, well, they'll be back. I have no idea. You know, in this day and age of the NFL, you never know. But the Eagles, what do they have in front of them this offseason? They're obviously going to lock up Hurts. Are they in a little bit of trouble, or are things looking good for them to possibly make another run?
Yeah, and we've seen, obviously, a couple times in the last 5-6 years where the Super Bowl loser has bounced back quite nicely. I mean, the Patriots, you know, somehow won a title in 2018 after losing to the Eagles. I mean, I don't even think that was a better team the next year that won it than the previous Patriots year. But, you know, obviously last year with the Bengals too, you know, they're coming just short, starting 0-2, and then having a terrific run as well. So, you know, we can maybe put that history thing out the window about the Super Bowl hangover, because I'm not sure it ever really exists. But it is, you know, you spend all offseason thinking about a handful of plays that define your season. So there is that. You can use it as motivation, or you can use it as a, you know, a thing to get depressed about. Plus, there's the idea that, you know, they might lose Miles Sanders in free agency. Maybe not a huge deal. They have a couple guys there and Scott and Gainwell they like. The biggest thing might be the coordinators. You know, I suspect by the end of today we're going to hear that Jonathan Gannon's the new head coach in Arizona. That's my guess. Shane Steichen obviously just took the Colts job this morning. You know, that was seen as that was something that was going to happen all along. It appeared. I mean, you know, what the one good thing, not the one good thing, but one of the best things the Eagles have done over the last couple of years is continually find sources of down the road sort of reinforcements, if you will, whether it's the roster, the coaching staff, the scouting staff. Their scouting staff has been raided the last several years, and they remain, I think, one of the best group of talent evaluators out there. So I assume that Brian Johnson and some of the other options on staff are going to be really, you know, good replacements if that does happen. And you got Hurts, you got A.J. Brown, you got Devontae, you've got the creativity of Sirianni and the guts. I don't know that they'll go away, but obviously these Super Bowl opportunities are still pretty rare. And they're in the NFC, which is right now the weaker conference.
And it looks like it could be even weaker if Aaron Rodgers gets going to the AFC. Where do you see that story? I mean, it's gone back and forth. It's the same old thing. I don't know. But are the Packers getting tired of that? Do they want to figure this out where they want to go? Where do we stand on the Aaron Rodgers going somewhere story?
Yeah, I mean, that's... We got to wait for the darkness retreat to end before any light or any clarity on that, right? I don't know. I assume that's happening in the next 10 days or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, Aaron does like to keep us guessing a little, obviously. We've sort of seen that the last couple of years, and it's different than what we went through with Favre, but it has a similar feel in some respects. And, you know, there's the Devontae factor out in Vegas. Could I see he and Josh McDaniels being a great pair? Maybe, but... Could I also see them butting heads? Possibly. So that's one option. You know, are there others that make sense? New York Jets? Sure, right? I mean, we've heard Woody Johnson basically say, we'll do what it takes to get that quarterback position right. I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, I mean, they don't appear to be backing away from the idea, whether it's Derek Carr or Rodgers or somebody else, that, you know, this is in play. So, yeah, if Rodgers... you know, were to go from the NFC to the AFC, you know, all of a sudden the Detroit Lions become a huge, you know, possibility in the NFC North, and other teams have Super Bowl aspirations, and the AFC, just like you said, just keeps getting loaded with better quarterback talent.
Always good having you on, my friend, and I know with the NFL being a 24/7 league, we'll get you back on again soon, my friend. Thank you so much, as always.
All right, buddy. See you, man.
You got it. Eric Edholm, NFL.com, as we head into the offseason and a bunch of questions. The big news, well, not the big news because it was anticipated, but it, nevertheless, today's a day Derek Carr is likely to get released. Probably will be released. No, he will be released because if he's on the roster tomorrow, a $40 million guarantee kicks in, and the Raiders aren't giving him that. So today's the day he's going to get released and be a free agent. Now, here was the thing. You may have heard a story about him going to visit the Saints. There was a possibility that the Raiders would trade him, but he told the Raiders, I'm not waiving my no trade clause. I am going to be a free agent. You're going to have to release me, and I'm going to be a free agent. And that's the right way to go. I don't think you need to help out that team. You spent 9 years with that organization. The last few games, they didn't treat you right. They told you to get, you know, they were going in another direction. In fact, you even suggested maybe it'd be best if I didn't stay around. I mean, when was the last time you heard that? Where a quarterback went, all right, you're going with another young guy in a lost season, but that's okay. I'll still be here. They went, you know what? I'll stay home. And the Raiders went, yeah, it might be good if you do stay home. He wasn't going to help them out. So he's now going to be a free agent. Where is he going to end up? Carolina is going to be looking for a quarterback. He might actually like what he saw in New Orleans. That's another one. But Aaron Rodgers is the big fish, right? If you're the Jets, they've already asked permission to talk about him, about the availability. If you're the Jets, I wouldn't let that go. You don't have a quarterback. You are in now a league where it can't just be okay. Like, you're not going to win with great defense. You're not going to get to the Super Bowl if you have a solid running game. You're going to need a quarterback, a really good quarterback. It doesn't have to be the best in the game. You don't have to have the number one guy, but you better have a quarterback that's on that upper echelon of QBs if you want to get through the AFC. Because you may beat one of those guys in the playoffs, but you're not beating two other guys en route to the playoffs. That's the problem. All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Glad you got us on a Tuesday.
Trevor Lawrence falls into what the media loves to do, and if you see the Jaguars, now you got
now you
in my
can't
head.
Even say now, it. Now you're saying it wrong the
okay.
other way.
Yeah,
it's like a speech impediment.
This might be a speech blind spot.
The Cash In weeknights at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific on Sports Map Radio.
Wake up call.
It's official, Tony. Boston Dynamics equals Skynet.
Every time you do a Boston Dynamics story, I get more and more petrified.
There's a new video of a two-legged robot just doing things that a two-legged robot shouldn't do on its own.
No.
Watching this video, the only thought going through my mind is that, you know what? The countdown in human existence started right there.
Exactly.
That's done.
Tick, tick, tick.
Wake up call with Tony D and Ron Culver. Weekday mornings from 9 to noon Eastern.
Just Saying It with Cole Thompson.
For the first time since the 1947, Chicago Bears will be picking number one overall. Why is this important? Because the Bears understood the assignment. Two teams were vying for that number one pick. One gets a win in the Houston Texans. They move now to number two. And the Bears who lost will be now controlling the draft board. This is so big for Chicago. And let me explain why. Because Chicago has its most important position figured out. Now that you don't have to select a quarterback, oh, you can be greedy. There's so many teams inside that top 10 who need to find themselves a franchise caliber quarterback. To be able to now control the draft board, ask for immense value wherever you may find it, whether that be with the number 5 pick, whether that be with the number 7 pick, whatever you want to call it, you put yourself in a situation to where you can truly restart your franchise in a positive note.
Just Saying It. Weekdays from 3 a.m. to 7 a.m.
Are you looking for your next favorite content to binge? Look no further. Search for your team at www.believe.com, where you can find sports analysis from former pro athletes, scripted comedy shows, binge-worthy pop culture, health, and much more. That's BLEAV, the number one content network for professionals. Do you believe?